Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand spanking new edition of Five and Out. I'm Wes.
I'm Steve.
That was a super fast intro.
Let's keep it going.
Let's do it. This week, we have a very special top five for you, which is what, Steve?
Our very favorite top five monologues from the world of TV, video games, and movies.
That's right, and this was written in by one of you guys out there. Thank you so much, James, for writing this one in. But, Steve, we have a lot of show to get to. Let's start the show. I'm warning you, dude. I'm spicy today.
Ooh, I'm spicy Wes.
Pretty salty. I recently redid my resume, and you know, that process sucks.
It sucks, man.
It's so stupid. I hate it.
It's basically a practice in bullshitting and political correctness in a way.
Yeah. You have to type out everything, and it's so froofy.
Yeah.
Such froofy language. I managed a team of six people that really maximize their efficiency in the long run, and I was like, I don't even know what that means.
So, just like saying the simplest thing, now becomes this trying to like a Shakespearean sonnet of my team was real good, and I think it was pretty much because of me, because of the enlightened qualities that I possess.
I literally have on there maintained organization and cleanliness of the establishment. I mopped some floors. That's all I freaking did.
Just the way we have to. Can we just get real?
Yeah, right.
Can we get real?
Can I just show up somewhere and receive a job?
And I was actually just. When I go back to work, I am going to be asking for a raise, which I feel like I am absolutely suited for. It is like my 6 month all the stars are aligning that I should get a raise, but yet I want to be prepared going in, so I've been looking up just a few things of like how to ask for a raise and blah blah, blah.
Number one, threaten
lives of the families of the boss you're talking to.
If you don't fucking give me a raise, I know where you live.
I have a particular set of skills. And it is getting a raise by murdering your family. one by one.
And if threaten doesn't work, then beg. Beg and plead.
I was just kidding. What kind of monster would do that?
And if you could squeeze some tears out, it'll really sell it.
So, of course, it brings me into, like, when I'm looking for how to ask for a raise, how to get a job or whatever. And it was like, number one thing, don't badmouth your previous employers.
Oh.
And I was like, you know what? What if your previous employers deserve to be badmouthed?
Yeah, no kidding.
Let's not pretend all previous employers are on the up and up. And, like, what if your previous employer was, like, stealing money from you?
Sure.
Or whatever. It's like, why did you leave your previous employer? Well, we had a difference of opinion on a few things, and I just feel like they weren't maximizing my abilities to the fullest, so I'm looking for a new opportunity.
Oh, God, it makes me so mad.
Dude, my boss was stealing my money.
I'm pretty sure that the business was a front for something.
Was straight up stealing my cash. That's why I'm leaving.
We had a difference of opinion about the law.
We had a difference of opinion on my money. I thought it was mine, and he thought it was his.
So what you're going to do is you're going to open with bad-mouthing your employer, your old employer.
I just feel like, I mean, you don't have to open with that. Maybe you came from, maybe, honestly, like you, there was not the potential for you to, you know, rise through the ranks, and you know you're looking for a new challenge. That's fine. If that's the truth, if you came from a super shitty spot and they were awful,
yeah.
Like, look, dude, I should have quit that job 3 months in. I wrote it out for 2 years. That dude sucks. Steve, you shouldn't. I shouldn't. What? I shouldn't tell the truth, or my boss shouldn't have been super duper shitty all the time. Like, why is that on me? Go talk to the dude. You will spend a minute with him and say, wow, you're super shitty. Steve is right to leave. Can't believe he was here for 2 years.
He's overtly racist and sexist.
Dude spits hate crimes all the time. Why can't I say that?
We had a difference of opinion.
We had a difference of opinion on people. Yeah. He hates blacks and Jews and women and minorities and white people. And I disagree.
So how are you going to ask for a raise?
Exactly what I just said. This was my dress rehearsal. Good. I'm wearing sweatpants. I'm drinking a beer. I'm talking about hate crimes. This is how you do it. Man, I'm getting like a little like ghetto in my voice right now.
I know. It's really scary.
Man, I'm... Ooh, this is how I do it, man. This is how I ask for money. This is why I don't get raises.
Because you threaten to beg threaten, and plead and badmouth your old employers.
I pretend I'm somebody I'm not.
Yeah. You speak in accents.
All sorts
wear
of...
Wear a disguise.
It's a lot of... I always wear a fake mustache.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's so weird. So I've lived in this body for 29 years.
Man, but another 36 in a different body. Yeah.
I realize that when I'm super spicy, I laugh all the goddamn time.
Right. I love it.
It's so strange to me. See, when you get super spicy, you start screaming. I just laugh. But I'm super mad inside. But I'm just laughing.
Okay, so resume updated.
Yeah, resume updated.
Okay.
I just want to talk about how shitty that process was, because I just did it not too long ago. And yeah, man, doing the old job search thing. I currently have a job, but I kind of want to switch careers a little bit.
Upgrade.
Want to upgrade.
You don't feel like you're being utilized to the maximum of your potential?
Well, my boss is overtly racist and sexist.
No. You know what? Sorry, Wes, we can't hire you. You badmouthed your previous employer.
But she... She literally opened up every conversation with, man, black people suck.
Yeah, Wes, we can't have you discussing prior
employments.
With
you know who also sucks? White people and Asians.
Wes, you're hired.
There it is. So yeah, man, been doing that. Hey, I have been watching The Office, and I got to the wedding episode.
Oh, so you're right at the end.
Yeah, no, the sixth season wedding episode.
Sixth season wedding episode.
Yes.
Oh, The Shroot.
No. Jim and Pam.
Oh, Jim and Pam. Oh, The Wedding.
The Wedding.
Duh.
Yeah.
The Wedding.
Got a little misty. It was really, really well done.
This is the... Tell me what Michael Scott does in this.
All the stuttering. All the Office cast members, they reenact that YouTube video of, like, dancing down the aisle.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I rewatched that many, many times these past few days.
Yeah.
It's just so good.
It is so good. Dude, there are a couple episodes of The Office that are just so good.
Mm-hmm.
They're just so good.
Yeah, yeah. But that's all I've been doing. Resume, The Office.
So a lot of professional things.
Yeah.
A lot of professional-looking things.
I tried playing Mirror's Edge, and I got to the very end, and I couldn't get past it, so I just did the old rage delete from my hard drive.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What a quitter.
I know. I'm a quitter. I am a quitter.
I hope that's on your resume.
It is.
I will complete 99% of the task you assign me. I will find the last part difficult, and I will destroy everything I've done.
That's right. Yeah. That game, it started out so good. I was having such fun with it, and then it just got so frustrating, and I got to the last chapter. I was like, you know what? Fuck this game. And I'm out.
Okay.
The old rage delete.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hated it.
I've never rage deleted.
Really?
Yeah. I don't.
You should try it. It's very freeing.
I don't do much raging in general.
You're very rageful, though.
No. You know what? I teeter on rage.
Okay.
I'll occasionally redline it into rage, but I don't destroy stuff or delete things or, like, remove anything in a rage. I had legit road rage the other day.
Oh yeah, what happened?
Yeah, reckless, like dangerous, reckless driver around me.
Okay,
in a Mini Cooper, and I was just driving to meet my wife and a few friends. This was the day my coat got stolen. Did I tell you about the road rage before?
No.
Okay,
man, that was a terrible day for you.
That's a bad day. So this guy basically he swings into the turn lane to go to pull in front of me. We're behind a bus, and he like keeps swerving into oncoming traffic to like see if he can get around the bus.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, pulling right into the path of other people, and trying to go around the bus the other way, and almost hitting parked cars. And
Jesus.
I can see he's on his cell phone. Like he is recklessly driving.
Wow.
At the begin, like when he, the first block or two when I followed him, I honestly thought he had a pregnant wife in the car. It's like he was trying to get to the hospital or something so badly.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, maybe this guy has the most legit reason in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then I see that he's just an a-hole and he's on his cell phone.
Drinking a beer.
He was not doing that, at least. Okay. So who knows who he's on the phone with, but my guess is the guy's just a giant, reckless douchebag.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so I'm like, at this point, my blood has started boiling because he's endangering me, people, like everyone. It's just terrible.
Mm-hmm.
We pull up to the stoplight, and at this point, I'm like honking at him just to stop. Mm-hmm. And I pull up in the left turn lane. There's a car in the middle lane, and then he's in the right. So we're like even together. And there's a car in between us. And I start honking, and I start pointing at the dude. And I, like, very clearly am wording, fuck you. Super clear. Like, I'm flicking him off and whatever. I'm like, and I keep pointing. I keep telling him to roll down his window because I just want to tell, like, get off your phone. Like, you're going to kill somebody. Just, like, I'm not going to fight the dude. But, like, I am really, really irritated. However, in the middle car, in between us, there's this really small old man. So as I'm honking and flicking him off and, like, saying, fuck you! Fuck you, dude! Like, just going crazy. This old man kind of looks up and sees me pointing. So he slowly rolls down his window and he goes, yeah. And I was like, and it's right when I audibly said, fuck you, to this guy. And he goes, and like, he kind of gives this look like, oh. And I was like, I'm sorry, sir. That's not for you. It's for that fucking asshole over there.
Mm-hmm.
And the old man's like, oh, okay. And rolled up his window. And I was like,
man, unfazed.
Completely. Like, he couldn't care less.
Wow.
Could not care less.
Jesus.
But so I had that legit road rage moment. And then I drove away. I was like, man, kind of lost my cool there a little bit.
Sure.
But you know what? It wasn't because... It's like, I just hate the music you're listening to! Like, reckless driving, endangering other people. I felt someone had to tell this dude, yo, chill out.
Just so you know, fuck you, sir.
In case you weren't clear by all of my horning at you and my middle fingerage, I want to be clear. Gentlemen, please, fuck you.
We have differences of opinion, and by that I mean... Fuck you.
That's exactly what I meant.
Yes.
I've been watching much TV in that limbo right now, but I did watch The Interview.
Yeah?
How
was that?
Interview was fine.
Sure.
Super blown up, obviously, because the controversy. If you're looking for, like, bottom-rung humor, there's a couple laughs in it. You know, it's just a cheap, you know, like, poop jokes and,
You know, I love poop jokes.
You love them. It's your favorite. Really lowbrow humor with, you know, there's a couple good laughs in there, I guess, if you're in the mood for that. And overall, give it like a 57.
Sure. Almost passing.
Yeah, right, whatever. It's right there.
Steve, how was your Super Bowl?
Oh, my God, man. I know you're not a football fan, and... obviously, we're in Chicago here, and we got blasted with snow.
Yeah.
We had like 16 inches or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just blasted. So Wes and his lovely lady were invited, but could not make it.
That's right.
So we had about 15 of us over for the Super Bowl. Had some...
Really? That many people made it?
Yeah.
It was a mess outside.
It was insane outside. You're correct. We were expecting like 25.
Sure.
So we definitely... Definitely lost a few.
Sure, sure.
But we had Portillo's Italian beef.
Oh,
we had blue cheese stuffed meatballs with buffalo sauce on them. We had beanie weenies. We had great food spread. Great group of people. We had prop bets, the squares. My wife won $400 on her work pool for squares.
Holy crap.
Which was awesome. And then just this unbelievable... fourth quarter of a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Oh, it was great, dude. Just phenomenal.
I realized that I could stream the Super Bowl online.
Yeah.
So I did that, and I caught the last quarter, and it was amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Coming from you, that is high praise.
Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, I'm sure everyone out there has seen it, so we don't really need to rehash it.
Sure.
But oh, my God, dude, it was super cool.
It's so I know you're not a football fan.
Yeah.
But... I just want to lay out this. I don't know if you know this historical context real quick. I'm sorry if you're not a sports fan. This goes beyond sports. This is drama. This is just drama.
Sure.
So, you know Tom Brady, the quarterback for the Patriots. He just won his fourth Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Ties him for the most Super Bowl victories of all time.
Okay.
A few years ago, they were playing the New York Giants. The Patriots were 16-0.
Yeah.
They were the only team since 1972 to go undefeated. They were into the Super Bowl and they were heavily favored. Dude on the Giants made the most ridiculous catch you will ever see. The ball like popped. It basically stuck to his helmet. He caught the ball with one hand on his helmet, uh-huh. And it's just this ridiculous, stupid, one in a million catch.
Yeah.
And because of that catch, the Giants went on to win the Super Bowl. The undefeated Patriots lose. At that point, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time loses on this just fluky, unbelievable catch.
Yeah.
The Patriots then lose a couple Super Bowls in a row. Fast forward to this last Super Bowl. Tom Brady in the fourth quarter, down 10 points, brings his team back. Then this unbelievable, fluky catch happens in the closing moments of the game. Just unreal. Dude has already tackled the ball, pops up. Somehow it doesn't touch the ground. He snags it out of the air. All of a sudden, the Seahawks are now about to score a touchdown because of this unbelievable fluky catch. And you see, they cut to Tom Brady, and he shakes his head. He's like, oh, my God. And as it happened, we're like, oh, my God. Tom Brady is going to lose two Super Bowls because of these unbelievable fluky acts of God. It's like being Sauron. Be like, well, I feel like I pretty much have all my bases covered. Everything's going good. A goddamn hobbit is throwing the ring into Mount Doom. A hobbit? Who accounted for hobbits? Tom Brady was being defeated twice
by hobbits.
By hobbits. It's like he allowed Frodo to beat him, and then he's like, all right. And a few years later, Sam went over and beat him too. Like, how is it happening? And then, as Sam is about to throw the ring in, Sauron goes, fuck you, Sam! And grabs the ring out, and then rises to power and destroys all of Middle-earth. I've now realized the Patriots are a whole bunch of orcs.
That's right. And Tom Brady is Sauron.
He is Sauron.
Yeah.
But it was unbelievable drama, unbelievable game. Great to share it with a bunch of friends. And I think even if you aren't a football fan, just watch this, the last, like, 2.5-3 minutes of that game. It's unreal. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm. With the hobbits and the orcs.
Hobbits, orcs. If you like Lord of the Rings, you'll love the Super Bowl.
Yeah. But yeah, so while you guys were doing that, the girlfriend and I were watching The Office, having some drinks, and I had the game on mute.
You know what? For you, that's big.
Yeah.
That's big.
All right, sir. We got some emails written in from last week's top five, yes. Which was the characters we want to be our best men.
Yeah.
I believe.
You believe. Thank you for believing.
Yes, of course. Timothy Adam Murphy writes in his top five. His number five is Thor.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh. Very, you know what?
Very manly.
Here's the main issue. There's a chance you may have the shortest marriage in the history of man because your wife may immediately leave you for your best man.
And really, you can't blame her.
No, because I'm about to leave her for him.
That's right. His number four is Genie. Of course.
Yeah!
His number three is Goofy.
What? What?
Let me read what he wrote.
What?
He wants this one because even though I know that something would go wrong with Goofy planning the bachelor party, he would put his heart into the entire thing and try his best to give you the best time.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. It's still Goofy.
Yeah. I mean,
his heart's in the right place.
Sure.
Sure.
I just feel like
it'll probably fall off a cliff.
And he can fall off a cliff. You cannot.
That's right.
You cannot, friend.
Yeah. His number two is Hook from Once Upon a Time. His number
really?
Yeah.
Hook?
Yes.
The evil dude?
The evil dude.
I mean, I would imagine there's going to be a pretty sweet, like, pirate bachelor party.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, man.
He says that he thinks it would be a lot of fun to have a pirate as your best man, and there would be no shortage of rum at this wedding with him around. Like Thor,
to be fair,
with Hook delivering the speech, it would be very regal.
Yes. Mm-hmm. There'd be that, and you'd save a lot of money on your open bar because you're going to have plenty of rum.
That's right. That's right.
However, what if in the middle of his best man speech, he just starts hearing the tick-tock and freaks out and stabs somebody?
Yeah, it's Hook.
It's Hook.
Bad guy.
I mean, and I feel like if you have Hook as your best man, you have a co-best man with Smee.
Sure.
Like, you don't invite Smee to the wedding, but yet he's your co-best man somehow.
We didn't want you here, Smee.
Smee, look, Hook, whatever you do, Hook, baby, Muffin, I love you. Leave Smee at home. And yet, there he is in a mismatched tuxedo.
His number one, I really like his number one, is Flynn Rider from Tangled.
Flynn Rider.
The main guy from Tangled.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I was getting my Tangled and Frozen confused for a moment.
Sure.
Flynn Rider. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's good. He's got an animation heavy top five. I like it.
That's all right.
Man, that goofy one is...
that threw you for a loop.
That really threw me off. Because I love Goofy as a kid.
Mm. But I don't know if I could have him as my best man.
Yeah, I don't know about that, though.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because he doesn't drink, and, you know.
Lightweight.
Yeah, no.
Total lightweight.
And he's a dog, too.
Man, he's going to... I honestly feel like he's going to deliver a bad best man speech.
Sure.
It's a bad speech. Because most of it's just...
But Oscar writes in his top five. His number five is The Flash. Be a very fast bachelor party.
Although he could bring you anything you wanted in a blink of an eye.
That is true.
Which is useful.
That is true. His number four is Dr. John Dorian, or JD from Scrubs.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
His number three is Jordan Belfort from The Wolf of Wall Street.
Is that the main dude?
I think it's the main dude.
You know what? It's on Netflix. Let me tell you real quick. Sidebar real quick.
Okay.
I want to watch The Wolf of Wall Street. I've wanted to watch it for like 2 years. There is no time that I'm like, man, I want to sit down to this 3 hour and 10 minute movie.
And watch Leonardo DiCaprio have a lot of sex.
Yeah. I'm like, I want to see it. I just don't have, I don't want to allot 3+ hours to watch it.
Sure.
Because I know it's
daunting.
I know it's going to be good, but not 3 hour good.
Sure.
That's what everyone has said.
Would you think, could you do it in shifts?
I don't like shifting movies.
Yeah, okay.
I don't like it. I could. I don't like it, though.
Okay.
Anyway.
Well, looks like you're screwed.
I'm done. This is it for me.
Yep. His number two is The Great Gatsby. Two Leos.
Wow.
Two Leos.
Man, obviously very confident in your wife. Again, Thor syndrome.
And his number one was Dom Toretto from Fast and the Furious.
Dom. Which one is
I think that's Vin Diesel.
Vin Diesel, or is that Paul Walker?
I have no idea.
Real quick, about The Great Gatsby. Real quick, this will go back real quick while you look up Dom from Fast and Furious.
Mm-hmm.
Great Gatsby, talk about a classy wedding / bachelor party you're going to have.
Sure.
That is going to be like the fancy little champagne, not like champagne flutes, little champagne, like the wide champagne glasses. Like, it's going to be some fancy business.
Sure. It is confirmed Dominic Toretto is Vin Diesel from Fast and Furious.
Number one. You know what? Okay. Do we have an explanation on that?
We do have an explanation.
Because that's what I think he would put, but I want to hear it from him.
Sure. Let's see. He writes, Dom is such a family man and always looks after and makes sure everything is good with his family.
Yeah.
The monologue that they used from Dom in the Paul Walker tribute video just brings tears to my eyes. And even though they have millions of dollars, the bachelor party would probably be a cookout and beer. Everyone just being together and being a part of that Fast and Furious family would be perfect.
You know what, man? That's a great pick.
He convinced me.
That's a great pick.
It was touch and go there for a while. But you know what? I'll vote Dom Toretto.
That's really good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've never been a huge fan of the Fast and Furious movies. I don't dislike them. I've just never really, I guess I've never really given them that much of a chance.
Sure.
But that's a really, really good pick.
I don't think about the Fast and the Furious films.
Yeah, it's not a thing that, it's not a thing.
It's not a thing. It's really not a thing.
But you know what is a thing?
What is a thing?
The Fast and Furious ride.
Really?
At Universal Studios.
I've never been on it.
I think they just unveiled it or whatever. There is now a Fast and Furious ride at a theme park.
Wow. Okay. What and, is it a roller coaster?
Yeah. Or I don't.
Or is it just a car being smashed into a wall?
Everyone's dead.
Yeah. It's the last ride you'll ever take.
In high school, my high school girlfriend, that was when the original Fast and Furious came out. I know I'm super old because there's 7 Fast and Furiouses now. Fast and Furii?
Fast and Furii.
Thank you.
It's
Fast
confirmed.
Fast and Furii now. And she loved Paul Walker.
Sure.
And I was like, shut up. It's like, Paul Walker sucks. And then part of me is like, I know he's handsome, but shut up. But the good news is he was never really in a good movie. Like, he was in Timeline or whatever. I was like, that movie sucks. Paul Walker sucks. Fast and the Furious suck. But if you were to tell me when I was in high school, when the first Fast and Furious came out, like, by the way, there are going to be 7, at least 7 of those, and they're going to make a theme park ride about it.
Yeah.
In 2015. I'd be like, you, sir, are a crazy man. No, exhibit A, Paul Walker sucks. Exhibit B, see exhibit A. And I would have been proven wrong. Yeah. Unbelievably, I would have been proven wrong.
How many Fast and Furious do you think there will be?
Ah, man. I guess I think the opening weekend of this next Fast and Furious will tell us a lot.
Sure.
I don't know if you're going to get like more of a boost because it's the one after Paul Walker died.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people want to support it or whatever.
What if... Let's go back to Exhibit A and Exhibit B.
That Paul Walker sucks?
Yeah. What if you told high school Steve that Paul Walker passed away?
Oh, celebrity people die tragically all the time. Mm-hmm. That would not surprise me.
Okay.
That would not surprise me. And I'm not, like, honestly, now, like, when I was in high school and my high school girlfriend loved Paul Walker, I just, I hate you, Paul Walker. Over the last, 9 years, I don't give a shit about Paul Walker. Like, Paul Walker, do well, man. Please keep making movies that mm-hmm. pay the bills. Do your thing, man. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
No grudges. You can have my old high school girlfriend. She's all yours. Trust me. So when he died, like, part of me was like, Paul Walker, I'm sorry, I hated you for a while.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, like, but then I think Paul Walker and I ended
on
good
sleep with your high school.
Then you know what? To be fair, when I was 18, he slept with my high school girlfriend.
Yeah.
So I feel like I was vindicated.
Sure.
But anyway, that's a really, really not the Paul Walker pick, the Vin Diesel pick for number one. I really like it, actually.
Yes,
really like it.
Steve, enough of living in the past. Let's look to the future. Our children. Sorry, I'm running for political office soon. That's going to be my new job. I'm going into politics.
My platform is everyone get pregnant.
That's right. My platform is children good and sex very good.
Vote Wes, 2015.
Yeah, let's look at this week's top 5.
By the way, if either of us were ever to go into politics, which obviously won't happen, this podcast, complete suicide.
No kidding.
Please look at Exhibit A. Paul Walker sucks, apparently. The dead star? Paul Walker? Now, that quote is taken out of context. There is an Exhibit B.
I know that you're running pro-Paul Walker in your campaign, but, yeah, well, we literally admit we're huge dummies every single
day.
Week.
Could you imagine the sound bites from this if we ran?
Oh, no. Oh, God. Steve.
When we talked about the Hispanic woman dentist.
Yeah.
If you felt was stereotyping you.
And my gum graft, which translates into putting a penis in my mouth, apparently.
Yeah, there's nothing they could use.
Yeah, definitely not.
But anyway.
So what is this week's top 5?
top five political moves we can make. Our top five this week is the top five speeches / monologues.
Yes.
Of course, always from the world of TV, video games, and movies.
You know what? I didn't even consider video games.
I feel like the video game world is not... It really doesn't compete in this realm.
No.
With film and television.
Sure, sure. But, Steve, I started last week, so I'll start again this week.
Fine.
My number five is the Shawshank Redemption Morgan Freeman scene monologue at the very end.
Oh, you mean My Best Man?
Yes, that's right. It's heartbreaking. Morgan Freeman is amazing in the role. And when he just, at the very beginning of that scene, I forget what they ask him, like, do you deserve probation or something like that? And he just sighs. And then he starts telling it like it is, that only Morgan Freeman can do.
Only the way Red can do.
That's true.
And prime Morgan Freeman.
Yeah. I love it. I watched it again today, and it's great. I love it.
You watched Shawshank today?
No, I just watched part of that scene.
Yeah.
That's my number five. Shawshank end scene with Rhett bringing it home.
Okay.
Is it Red or Rhett?
Red.
Red.
Red, sorry. As in the color.
My God, I've never seen you more adamant about something. It's Red, idiot.
Is it because I threw your table against the wall as I said
that's
that?
That's true. How dare you ask me that?
All right, my number five, I'm going to go with something that if you have ever worked in the world of sales, you've heard this speech. You've heard it referenced several times. It's kind of a cliche speech. It's because it is so goddamn true. And it is from Glengarry Glen Ross. Mm-hmm. This is the Alec Baldwin "Coffee is for Closers" speech. And if you're not familiar with the idea of Glengarry Glen Ross, basically it's a couple of real estate agents they have to sell. There's three of them. One of them is going to get fired. They have to sell real estate in this time. Mm-hmm. But Alec Baldwin is the hotshot dude from downtown that's come to give them this like pep speech, and it is not a pep speech, friend. It is how sales work, though. Mm-hmm. It is great example in the speech. Like, it's like, hey, put that coffee down. It's like, put that fucking coffee down. Coffee is for closers. And he puts, then Jack Lemmon of all people, adorable, loving old Jack Lemmon. Mm-hmm. And then Ed Harris is in it. And he says, yeah, if you're so special, how are we supposed to know you? I drove here in a $90,000 BMW. You drove here in a Hyundai. That's who the fuck I am. Yeah. Like, that kind of stuff is, it is very, very real mm-hmm. in the sales world. Like, ABC, always be closing. But, like, it's, Alec Baldwin is the perfect, perfect douchebag in this speech. And it is, again, like,
did your bosses ever treat you like that?
I've heard the term ABC 100 times, more than 100 times.
Mm-hmm.
Always be closing. So, and the same like theme of that is like the theme of that speech is basically, are you man enough to be a salesman, like mm-hmm. to take their money, like to do what you have to do, to get in there and sell, to close, to do it. Like, that is in the world of like of sales, like real sales, I suppose, whatever. That's the mindset of like, it's so like a tight, like just masculine, like I can do this. I'm a man, but I've got brass balls. I'll close anybody. Bring anyone in front of me. I'll sell them anything. Like, that's how a lot of that is. And it's,
for a second I thought you said, I have breast balls.
I got balls made out of boobs. You like boobs? I got them. You like balls? I got them. I'll sell you. Sign right here.
You know, I wasn't going to buy today, but your breast balls are
I didn't know. Honestly, I didn't know it was an option.
Yeah, I've only seen that scene in that movie. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't seen the rest of the movie, just that scene.
It's actually a very good movie. It's actually adapted off a David Mamet play.
Mm-hmm.
But real good movie, real good play. Great actors in the movie. Definitely
Jack Lemmon, before he was grumpy.
It's right around grumpiness.
Was he grumpy?
May have grumped.
Was he grumpy in the movie?
Yeah.
Oh, see?
Yeah. Well, probably... Alec Baldwin came in talking about ABC and put the fucking coffee down. Yeah, you'd be grumpy too.
Sure.
Ed Harris and Alan Arkin are in it. Kevin Spacey is also in it.
Awesome.
Great cast. Really good movie. Definitely worth checking it out.
Put it on the list of shit I need to watch.
But that speech in and of itself is, again, it's special to me because I worked in sales for... Mm-hmm. I continue to work in sales, and it is just a thing.
So when did it get old for you, hearing ABC constantly?
I mean, that term is just so, and as soon as, I hear someone say that, I think of the Alec Baldwin, masculine character, and, just this pompous, I could get in there, I could do it, and, because there's part of this speech, too, where he says... He's like, with the leads you have, I could make $15,000 in 2 hours. Can you do it? Can you do it? Oof. So, when I hear the ABC, I just think of the whole speech. Just goes through my mind super fast.
Sure, sure.
And I'm like, ugh. Oh, God. Ugh. Blah.
All right. So your number five was?
Number five, Glengarry Glen Ross, ABC.
All right. My number four is something that we've talked about many times before, so we don't need to dwell on it. But it's the Robin Williams Goodwill Hunting montage.
Oh, man.
Just the one where he says, then I realize something. You're just a kid. If I asked you about Michelangelo, you could probably do something. Obviously, I wrote this monologue.
Yeah. I believe it was co-author. It was you, Ben Affleck, and Matt Damon. Is that right?
Matt Damon. He's an up-and-comer.
Yeah.
He's going to make something of himself. So that speech, it's super affecting, especially with the Robin Williams tragedy. It's just, I love that scene. It's great.
You know what else is great from that movie, too, is the Ben Affleck... It's not quite a monologue, but when he's smoking his cigarette right by the hood of his car, he's talking to Matt Damon, and he does the, the best part of my day, the 10 seconds, when I'm waiting for you to come to the door. So where it's the 10 seconds where you just said you didn't say goodbye, no anything, you just got up and you got out of here, and it's like, if you're still doing construction work here in 20 years, I'm gonna fucking kill you.
Yeah.
He's like, no, nothing against you. I'm going to kill you. And just that whole, it's like, you have something that the rest of us would kill to have, and you're sitting on a winning lottery ticket, and you're throwing it away.
Mm-hmm.
That's,
and that, of course, is a mini driver, is what he's talking about.
You've got a winning driver.
Mini driver.
You got a mini driver. I mean, the Robin Williams speech is obviously the cat's meow.
Sure.
Of that movie, which is just a great movie, man.
It's so good, dude. Such a great speech. It brings tears to my eyes.
You know, and seeing Matt Damon and Ben Affleck so young, and you're like, wow, I have really watched a lot of your stuff, haven't I? Wow.
Yeah.
But there's everyone at some point in that movie gets to show their chops, and It's an actor's script. It's a really, really great movie. And Robin Williams blows it out of the water.
Sure. Especially that up-and-comer, Matt Damon.
Man, I haven't seen anything from him since then.
I know.
But I'm holding out.
He actually started doing construction.
I'm going to kill him. I got to kill him.
That's my number four, Goodwill Hunting, Robin Williams monologue.
So I'm going to go with one I feel like maybe on your list, Wesley.
Okay.
Considering you delivered this in a play when we were in high school, in college together. This is going to be the Aragorn speech from Return of the King, the It Is Not This Day speech.
That is my number two.
Number two. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you know what? There's so many great, great speech. I'm happy to hear an honorable mention from you as well.
Fantastic.
But, of course, I've already mentioned Lord of the Rings on this podcast, but it is, ladies and gentlemen, we've gone through Fellowship of the Ring. We've gone through the Two Towers. We are now two-thirds of the way through, if not further, in Return of the King.
Sure.
This final climactic fight that's been 9 hours in the making. And What do we need? We need that speech to bring everything together.
And the Super Bowl.
That's and cool. We need Tom Brady. It's Aragorn versus Tom Brady. Versus it is Aragorn and humankind and elves and dwarves versus a whole bunch of patriots. But Aragorn with that just a fantastic war monologue of the like it is not this day.
Yeah.
Like what is it like it's stand with me brothers of the realm. It's not brothers of the realm.
Stand with me people I know.
That's it.
That's it.
Mutual acquaintances.
And, there may be a day when humankind falls, but it is not this day. There may be a day when there's Starbucks in every corner, but it is not.
It is actually technically today.
Yeah.
Just enough, it's just I am, as I've mentioned many times on podcasts, like I love war movies, but part of the reason why I love war movies is because they allow for this kind of speech.
Mm-hmm.
The literal it is us versus them to the death.
Yeah.
Like, are you with me? I need you. I need you with me.
Mm-hmm.
And it is he gives a not my favorite speech of all time,
clearly,
of war speech, but it is way up there. I've mentioned it before. I just love it. I love that speech.
You said it best. Super arousing, and it made me want to go to war against Tom Brady.
Against Tom Brady and a whole bunch of Patriots.
That's it. So because you ever so handily stole my number two, I'm going to move my number three up.
Bump him up.
And I'm going to do an honorable mention here. And that is the few good men. You can't handle the truth.
You know what? I'm gonna jump over to the West Side real quick. I have never seen A Few Good Men.
Really?
Never.
I have it. You can borrow it.
Great. I'd like to actually.
Let's do it.
I of course know you can't handle the truth. Of course.
The truth about it, about the world is that there are walls, and we need people guarding these walls. And then he goes on and is awesome and is Jack Nicholson for the rest of the speech. I don't remember the rest of the speech. Why am I still talking?
Who am I? Am I Jack Nicholson? No, I'm not Jack Nicholson.
That's a great movie. I really recommend you watch it. And it's a great speech and a very climactic courtroom moment.
Courtroom stuff, like in the general thought, like courtroom, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
When it's done right, man, it's so good.
Yeah,
so good,
and so unlike normal courtrooms.
Yeah, I've been to court before. I didn't have any like war generals be like, "You can't handle the parking tickets." To be fair, I really can't handle these parking tickets. He's right.
Could you take them away, please?
I really can't.
And Jack Nicholson, how far are you fallen dealing with these parking tickets? it's a great movie, dude. Again, you need to watch it, and you will watch it. We'll make this happen.
You know what? Again, I feel like, I don't know why I always feel like I need to defend Tom Cruise.
I don't think he has billions of dollars.
It's not a financial thing. I feel like I artistically need to defend Tom Cruise.
I feel like he should
financially defend me.
He's an incredibly good-looking, charming individual who is against Tom Cruise.
I feel like you are against Tom Cruise.
I am not against Tom Cruise. Well,
I'm going to say you are against Tom Cruise.
Exhibit A. Tom Cruise sucks.
Exhibit B. Tom Cruise does not suck. Exhibit A was a trick.
Yeah. No, I like Tom Cruise just fine.
Okay.
You can try and convince me otherwise.
Okay.
On my campaign,
I don't
want
to convince you otherwise. That's what I want to convince you of.
Oh, well then why are we still fighting?
Because I want to fight. I just listened to the Aragorn speech and I want to fight something. I want to fight Brady's and Patriots.
Well, stop projecting your fears about my anger at Tom Cruise onto me.
There's a lot of fear reflection happening right now. Just refracting, I suppose.
Sure. It's a very diffusion of fear.
Oh, no. Amplification of fear.
You're right. Right. That's my honorable mention.
All right, dude. My top three came to me within mere seconds.
Oh.
It was just the challenge of putting them in the order. And I'm still not totally set in this order.
Yeah.
There are so many great monologues and speeches. And I try to leave off ones that, even if they just had, like, a line or two of dialogue, even if they were just small lines, I'm trying to think just straight monologues.
Mm-hmm.
My number three kind of bends it just ever so slightly. And that is going to be the Ezekiel 25:17 speech from Pulp Fiction.
Sure, sure.
Because it's just astoundingly good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the fact that it actually is like two monologues, both in the first third of the movie and then the very end of the movie as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm speaking specifically of the first part, the "and you will know my name is the Lord." Ah, my God. That scene is just unbelievably good. The very beginning, like, that's one of the ones I can do pretty much from beginning to end. I know the whole thing, mostly.
Mm-hmm.
But the, like, what does Marcellus Wallace look like? What? Say what again, motherfucker? Just Samuel L. Jackson at the absolute peak of Samuel L. Jackson-ness. Absolutely born to do this particular scene.
Mm-hmm.
So, randomly shoots the dude. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I break your concentration? Shoots other guy in the shoulder. Say what again? Say what again? And then he just busts out the most biblical verse I've ever heard seen on the screen.
See, did you break yourself?
I did. It's just so good. I've started skipping, and I'm like, my hard drive isn't functioning correctly.
I need to clean you off.
Honestly, I just want, if I'm going to if I'm going to murder somebody, I'm going to say, "And you will know my name is the Lord," and I'm going to shoot them.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen. My previous employer. That's why I'm looking for a new job, because I said you know my name is the Lord. And I shot and killed my employer. Is that good enough reason to give me another job?
We had a difference of opinions. I wanted him dead. He wanted to be alive.
And he didn't think my name was the Lord. I'm doing a very bad job explaining it this evening. But I think most people...
you sound like me.
I know. This is bad. I'm feeling Westlake. I don't like it.
I don't even like feeling Westlake.
Honestly, it's so good. I'm like cowering at its power. And I'm like, Samuel Jackson, Pulp Fiction,
Well, what do you feel when you hear that speech?
Just
pee running down your leg?
Mostly urine. And I know as soon as it starts, the innocent suburban white dude sitting on that chair, I'm like, oh, no. Oh, no, dude. Here it comes, and it's going to be awesome. Because I look at that suburban white dude like as my friend.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, yeah, I relate with that dude in this scene. But I'm still like, I relate to you, but I totally side with Samuel L. Jackson. He's just so bad.
Yeah.
And he kills him.
Yeah.
He kills him dead. And it's great.
Yes, it is.
It's just so great. So, at this point, we are now 21 years removed from Pulp Fiction.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you haven't seen it, it's on you.
Yeah.
It's on you.
Sure.
So, do it if you've not done it.
I have done it.
Good.
Yes.
Good.
Thank you.
So, anyway, my number three is a poor explanation of the Samuel L. Jackson Ezekiel speech.
Got it. My number two, really my number three, but my number two on this list is the Chevy Chase Clark Griswold meltdown in Christmas Vacation.
Oh, dude, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
I wanted one funny one on my list. And the spineless, dickless, headless, brainless, bloodless, whatever that speech is. It starts with, "You know what I really want for Christmas? My boss paraded in front of me today so I could tell him about the yellow-bellied lily-lipped.
All the old man, like the dad sayings of someone like of yesteryear.
And he works himself up into such a frenzy. The only way that it could end is with him shouting, "Hallelujah!" It's such a funny monologue delivered by a very funny comedian. And the first time I watched it, I laughed my ass off. My ass was on the ground.
Removed.
Yes. And it's still funny to this day.
You know what? I think I told you this last year. I had never seen Christmas Vacation until last year.
That's why we did the Netflix review. Christmas I know. Vacation.
And I got to tell you, man, it is now a Christmas, at least for 2 years, a Christmas tradition. But I look forward every year now to watching Christmas Vacation, and a huge part of it is because of that monologue.
Yeah.
It's so goddamn funny. And then, is his boss get paraded in right at the end?
Yes.
Yes.
By Randy Quaid.
Yeah, by Randy Quaid, bringing in Bill Murray's brother.
Oh, that's right.
Bill Murray's brother. It's kind of like, I feel like it's a very close relationship to Ron Howard's brother,
mm-hmm.
who is in most of Ron Howard's movies. Mm-hmm. Just a little kind of tertiary character. And sure. And Bill Murray's brother. I know Bill Murray's not in Christmas Vacation, but he just kind of shows up. Just shows up.
What's Bill Murray's brother's name?
Samson.
I was thinking Jeb. Jeb Murray.
Yeah, that's. I believe he's the governor of Florida.
That's right. Yeah, man, I love it, and I want to watch it again as soon as we're done here.
You know what? I don't want to watch it right now.
Okay.
I want to.
Well, I'm going to force you to.
I will be forced.
Number three, Christmas Vacation. Or number two, I
Number
should
two,
say.
Number two. That brings me to my numero dos. And it's hard for me not to make this my number one, but alas.
No.
Alas.
Don't.
I think.
Don't take it from me.
I think I'm doing it.
Oh, no.
I think I'm doing it.
Why do you do
Here
this
we
to
go.
Me? All the I even went first, so this wouldn't happen.
It is... They may take our lives, but they will never take our freedom.
That's my number one.
It's my number two.
Ugh.
Tis my number two. Braveheart is one of my favorite movies of all time, as talked about before.
Wait, Braveheart? Oh, I was thinking something else.
What the hell do you think They May Take Our Lives, but They'll Never Take Our Freedom is from?
I was like, because I assumed that you were going to say my number one.
No.
So I was like, was that in that speech? Because it sounds pretty familiar.
Then I feel like we may have differing number ones. Anyway, we'll get to that in a moment.
Okay.
They may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedoms. You know this speech. This
honorable mention. Yeah.
This is the when Mel Gibson, of course, in Braveheart, comes out wearing the blue face paint,
mm-hmm.
and the I'm William Wallace. No, you're not. William Wallace is 7 feet tall. Oh, and so I've heard. And he kills men by the dozens, and he shoots. He'll kill the English with lightning bolts from his fingers and fireballs from his arse. You know, that speech is, again, we're talking war speech,
mm-hmm.
rousing the people into this huge climactic battle,
mm-hmm.
and the, I am William Wallace.
Mm-hmm.
And the part of that speech that just fucking gets me every time is the guy's like, no, we will run and we will live. And William Wallace says of course, all of these speeches are far better if you just go onto YouTube and you look at them. We're just giving you the little Cliff's Notes versions. That's sure. all it is. But they're fine. Like, run and you will live. Like, fight and you may die. But laying, like, dying in your bed years from now, would you trade all the days from this day till that for one chance? Just one chance! And when he does that, just one chance!
Mm-hmm.
To tell our enemies, you may take our lives, but you'll never take our freedom. What he like that from for one chance, just one chance. I'm like, oh my god, let me kill the English. Like, I want to fly to England right now and just kill Englishmen. Steve, you know that war is. Long gone. Like, England's a very different place now. I don't care.
And you will know my name is the Lord. You bam.
Dude, that's how, that's it. We figured out how I'm going out. Flying to England? Sorry, Englishman.
You better, you have been warned.
To be prepared. Again, this is going to, this is going to go on my political anti-campaign. Steve says he wants to fly to England, kill Englishmen, saying he is the Lord. Is this the man you want to vote for? Vote Wes! Babies and Sex, 2015.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like that's, maybe that's a future top five. Top five things from the podcast you can use against one another in a political smear campaign.
Oh, sure. But you were saying about how this monologue gets you.
Yeah, man. War monologue, rousing the people, and just has that one, like, kick in it. Like, just one chance.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know what? We live these moments for this, like, for a moment to make a change, and this is... Yeah!
Like, it kind of makes you want to start a revolution,
man,
doesn't
it's just so good. And the fact that he's wearing face paint, mm-hmm. not like body paint, like some sort of asshole. No, he's wearing face paint like a badass Scottish warrior carrying a 6-foot sword.
Yeah.
Yes, on yes. a horse.
And that horse is going nuts.
Man!
It's running back and forth.
And then right after that, the beginning of that battle... The English try to mow them down with cavalry, mm-hmm. and they have fucking trees sharpened to a point. Trees! They cut down trees and made spears out of them.
Yep.
That's so awesome.
Yep, it is.
Then they slaughter the English. God, I wish I was there. Not really. It would probably smell so bad.
Yeah, no kidding.
It'd be so... I would die so fast.
So fast.
Oh, my God, man. Everyone would be holding these giant tree spears, and I'd be like, I don't know, 10 rows deep. I'd be like, I'm not in the back of the fight, but I'm not in the front.
Sure.
I'm just... And then one of those horses would, like, go over the top and land on me. I wouldn't even get to, like, fight. I'd be smashed by a horse.
Hey, that's how you want to go.
I will be pinned under a horse, be like, and you know, my name is the Lord.
Are you saying this to yourself?
Pretty much. I mean, I just want to say it before I die in a battle. And the horse looks at me and says, fuck you. Everyone, this is a talking horse. No one can hear me. I'm dying.
I died so fast.
I did nothing. I just came here to die.
Yeah, that's a good, very good monologue.
Thank you. That's my monologue. And you will know my name is the Lord. This is a talking horse. Does anyone hear me? I'm dead.
What about the rest of the men in my line? Why did everyone scatter?
Oh, that's
am I that
monologue.
Unpopular?
That's my monologue, man.
That's a great monologue, dude.
Thanks. That'll be my number one.
Man, Braveheart really could have jumped the shark with that talking horse.
Mr. Ed's like, finally, my moment to shine.
Oh, God. So that's your number two.
My number two. Mr. Ed dies in Braveheart.
Oh, God.
What if Mr. Ed says, and you know my name is the Lord, as he jumps into a spear? Maybe that's the monologue.
I think that's it. That's it.
Man.
$1 million idea.
I don't know why we have not mashed up Pulp Fiction and Braveheart before.
I know, man. This is a, well, we're trendsetters.
Man.
So my number one, which I thought was your number two, is... We will not go softly into the night. We will not perish without a fight. Or something to that effect. This is our Independence Day.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I wanted to put in my top five.
Why didn't you?
Because I've used it on previous top fives several times.
That's true.
So I didn't want to just beat that dead Mr. Ed.
Well, I will beat it for just one second.
Please.
This is, of course, from Independence Day.
Of course.
Talk about rousing. War speeches.
Yes.
Just thinking about that makes me want to commit genocide against somebody.
Hopefully aliens.
Yeah, no? Well, there's no aliens here.
Maybe horses.
It roused me into action, and then I don't have anything to do, so I just wind up hitting myself in the face.
We will not go quietly into the night. Today, we will punch ourselves in the face.
That's right. Super rousing, wonderful, wonderful speech, wonderful monologue. And you, I think we told the story on here before that you actually used that monologue as an audition.
I did. One of the great things about that speech is it is the President of the United States that is not delivering the speech via television, via radio, you know, internet stream, whatever, to the nation. He's delivering it to essentially just this group of fighter pilots that's going up in this aerial combat is essentially pretty much what he's delivering the speech to. And I think it's actually kind of a cool thing that Independence Day did to take the President of the United States and take him back into this much smaller role in the movie, which is actually kind of cool.
Yeah.
And God, Bill Pullman. I mean, is there another Bill Pullman role that's even worth mentioning?
No, there's not.
I wonder when you're Bill Pullman, the different age demographics of like when they see Bill Pullman, what they say to him. Because I can't even think of other Bill Pullman movies right now.
Neither can I.
He's been in a bunch of stuff though.
Yeah.
Like if he meets someone that's like 55, like, oh, I loved you in whatever boring, stupid movie that isn't Independence Day. And then he meets the generation that grew up on Independence Day.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh my God, you're the president from Independence Day. We will not go quietly into the night. And I wonder if Bill Pullman is the kind of guy to be like, thank God I was in Independence Day. Or if he says, oh my God, I hate these people. Like, I've made a huge mistake.
You know what? I choose to believe that Bill Pullman secretly loves Independence Day.
I would hope so, man.
Yeah.
Wes, what would you rather do? Would you rather be a role like Bill Pullman in a, not necessarily a cult film like Independence Day, but definitely a niche kind of film?
Sure.
Would you rather be a big role in that kind of movie, or would you rather be a smaller role in a like critically acclaimed all-time type movie like, I don't know, maybe like an Apocalypse Now, a smaller role, like a...
Ooh, I think the first one. The big role with the rousing speech in a cult classic.
Okay. And again, I know we're using cult classic loosely. It's obviously, it was an enormous blockbuster, obviously that, but it's not an all-time, you know, movie for people.
Sure.
Okay.
I think so.
I would do the same as well.
Yeah.
I would do the same as well. Would you rather be a really small role in like an Independence Day, maybe like, I don't know, like a random scientist in the, you know, Area 51.
Steve, are you casting Independence Day 2?
I'm working on it. looking for people.
Is this my interview?
Or would you rather be a even tinier role in a Godfather, a Shawshank Redemption, Forrest Gump?
In that regard, I would do the second one.
You're going all-time great film.
All-time great film. I can point to myself like, hey, see that out of focus blob over Daniel Day-Lewis's shoulder? That's me. My scene was cut.
Oh, so you've seen my business cards. Yeah. Out of focus blob man. Right. Steve, yep.
Yep. And the camera was working just fine. I'm just actually out of focus in real life.
Man, you know what I just had the realization of?
What's up?
I listen to a lot of sports radio and radio in general, and it's always super weird to me when I see pictures of the people I'm listening to.
Mm-hmm.
We are now people that people listen to and have no idea what we look like.
Holy crap. Well, weird. I look just like Tom Cruise. And you look like Mr. Ed.
With a spear in me, a tree spear in me.
With your breast balls.
Breast ball, Mr. Ed, tree spear. You know me.
That's it.
All right, that brings me to my number one. My number one is from a film you've probably never seen, and you may be familiar with the speech. It is from The Great Dictator.
No.
Have you ever seen this by Charlie Chaplin?
No, I haven't.
Honestly, really?
No, I haven't, yeah.
This is, it's kind of, it's almost, I feel, Like, it's a cheat number one because it's just fantastic. And actually, what I'm going to do, we're going to do a Zach Morris TV timeout, and I'm going to show it to you, and then we're going to talk about it.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Holy crap, dude.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
For those of you out there who have not seen it, I really recommend you check it out. It's called The Great Dictator, and I think the video you showed me is...
just the speech from The Great Dictator.
But it was with him in Inception's music. I don't know why I couldn't get that out.
Yeah.
But
there's with the underscore from Inception, Hans Zimmer, which just fits absolutely perfectly. And the speech is, I mean, it kind of touches on all of the things that make us feel good in a way. You know, it's like, don't fight for slavery, fight for liberty. Like, we are, like fight for communication between one another. Like, it spans across.
Fight for sex! Fight for babies!
Yeah, I mean, so he's obviously rallying for your political campaign.
Yeah.
It touches on all sorts of things that, you know, feel right for people to root for.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that it doesn't feel good to root for the whole speech.
That's
like,
right.
The whole thing, like, there's just parts of it that just make me tingle, dude. I've watched that speech several times.
Sure.
And it just, every time, it still just gets me. Gets me no matter what. And the fact that thing is 75 years old now. Mm-hmm. It's from 1940. It's from 1940. And, like, we're still fighting, or we do this podcast. We don't really fight for a whole lot. the ideals are essentially the same. Like, be closer to people. Do good. Do nice. Like, do right. You know, fight for what you believe in. Those things. Like, same thing. It's the same thing from 1940. It's the same thing. I'm probably from 1840 and 1740. And I'm sure it's the same thing. It's
Steve. That speech, it's the same thing with the Independence Day speech. Like, it gets me all roused up, and I have nowhere to go.
Were you punching yourself in the face? You kind of punched yourself in the face a little bit.
I mean, I have to get out this aggression that was built up. You won't let me punch you, so...
Again, if you've not seen just the speech, go... The Great Dictator, the speech from The Great Dictator. And again, I encourage you to use the underscored one, Hans Zimmer, for Inception, but at least it gives me the tingles. I don't know what it does to everyone else.
Sure.
I got goosebumps listening to it every single time.
Well, it gives me the shingles.
Very painful. Wes is writhing in pain, punching himself in the face.
It's not a good day.
I am a horse with a tree in me. This is a bad day.
We have definitely had better days. We started out spicy, then we're going to shingles and tingles.
Shingles, tingles, and trees.
That's right.
Also, my law office. But let me go through, recap, that's the word, my top five. That is going to be Glengarry Glenn Ross, my number five. Number four is going to be from Return of the King. Number three is going to be Samuel L. Jackson from Pulp Fiction. Number two is going to be They May Take Our Lives, But They May Never Take Our Freedom from Braveheart, You Big Buffoon. How did you think it was something different? And number one was the speech from The Great Dictator.
My number five was The Shawshank Redemption, where Red brings it home. My number four is Good Will Hunting, Robin Williams' emotional monologue. My number three is Christmas Vacation, the Chevy Chase meltdown. My number two is Return of the King, of course. And my number one is This Is Our Independence Day.
Thank you, Bill Pullman. We thank you guys so much for listening, and we always, always, always love to hear from you, because this was actually a top five written in by one of you guys as well.
That's right. Thank you so much, James, for writing this one in.
So, again, if you write it in, we'd love to do it. We'd love to hear your top fives. We'd love to read your top fives, read them back to you, for everybody else. So, please.
And we love you.
We love you. We love you. But we got to know you're out there, so let us know.
That's right. That's right. We may be a shingle-ridden madman and a horse with a tree stuck in it.
But we can read your posts here on fiveplay.net.
Now, oneofus.net. You can leave a comment on either of those websites. You can also email us at fiveplaynet@gmail.com.
That's the best way to get in contact with us. Of course, Facebook, Twitter, right around the corner. Ain't no thing.
After we run for our political campaigns.
You know what? I'm going to beat you, you son of a bitch.
Your anti-Paul Walker, pro-Tom Cruise platform.
It's a winner. It is a winner.
I'm running on sex and babies.
To be fair, that's a winner, too.
That's right.
So we'll see. But until the political race is settled, I'm Steve.
I'm Wes.
That was five. And we're out.